因为我说话吗？可以。
Recording in progress。
我呢，一定要戴这个眼镜，因为呢，走路呢，不戴这个眼镜呢，我实在就看两个，看老公就是两个老公。但是呢，看字儿呢就不需要眼镜了哈。完了，昨天呢 ，Tony 呢把我的一切计划打乱了。我本来写了个见证，但是呢，好像前面现在写的有点乱了，不知道怎么办了。但是 Tony 给我打电话呢，我就觉得好一点，我就心里好受一点，觉得是要我帮忙了，要不然我自己谈那么样，我还不好意思呢哈。还在一大堆掏心窝的话想跟大家讲，不知道从哪儿讲了。第一个，我想看到哪儿说到哪儿哈。先说这个搬家的事儿，感谢主啊！本来是我们九月搬家，公司要9月1号或者2号，反正我已经记不清，反正昨天或者前天来。如果搬家公司昨天和前天来的话，我就没钢琴弹，那实在是今天我就弹不了琴，因为我现在是完全需要锻炼一下手，像Tony讲的，我要妈陪一下了呀。完了，不能马上就谈了，现在已经跟以前完全不一样了。搬家公司呢就来了，所以钢琴就到了，我就能练那么几天，今天就可以弹琴了哈。完了呢，还有啥呢？哎呀，等一下，这是我6年后第一次弹琴，我很激动，昨天激动的不能自理了都。有点激动的直哆嗦在这儿，真的好激动啊！实在是6年呢，当中我第一次弹琴，真的不容易。完了，我今天看到，完了不是王淼，刚才正副坐到后面，是不是扶持我呢？在，我真的很激动，很感动哈、啊。完了呀，这上面写的是感谢主的恩典，我们又回来了。我们的家具呢，本来是8月26号到。不是，我们家具本来说是要8月26号，但是我们8月好像17号、18号就到 Kansas 了，所以当中有10天没有床，没有锅碗瓢盆的阶段，大家就借给我们，还有送吃的，就是真有回家的感觉哈。后来呢，又推迟到9月3号，完了大家祷告，也就说到了8月31号就来了，完了就钢琴我就可以练了。这迟来的家具对我们真的没有影响，因为没有的东西大家都借给我了，我所有的臭美的行头也带在身上了，生活已经步入正轨了。完了，曾勇也去上课什么什么的。这次回来呢，觉得自己明显的爱讲话，这种喜乐是发自内心的，感谢主。在2016年到2018年的时候给我们带到华盛顿，我在那里静静的疗伤，流眼泪，不爱讲话，也说不出来，也笑不出来。圣经上说要爱人如己，我连自己都讨厌我自己，我从一个正常人变成一个残疾人，心里很接受不了，变得很自卑。但经过6年以后呢，神擦干了我的眼泪，听了我的呼求，祝福了我。到现在我自己能走3000多步了，在我自己能走的时候呢，我就萌生了一个想法，我要重新开始事情，从开始最早的5分钟，那弹一弹，那就是幼小的心灵受到伤害，那手一顿哆嗦，根本弹不了的。后来呢，我们就祷告，其实有了这个心愿以后就祷告，完了垂听了我的祷告，现在已经能慢慢的练了自己想要的东西呢，已经能练出来一些了。当然弹琴是一个细致活哈，真的不是以前我弹琴可能弹那是我自己练出来的，现在弹琴真是祷告来的，从祷告来的。我还有个耳朵是完全听不到的，那是完全可以做到选择性耳聋的，真是不是假的，是真的哈，就一点都听不到那个耳朵。所以弹琴就是很多时候我听不见什么，这样说我没有立体感了，是我就完全没有立体感，因为不知道声音从哪发出来的，你知道？啊，这又说哪了？但是就是弹琴呢是个细致活，需要很长时间练习。但是我就说， 我之前根本谈不了几分钟，现在弹琴真是神祝福了我，祝福了我的手，让我慢慢能弹了。我觉得我现在弹琴真的比以前进步了很多。以前上次感恩节弹的时候，我记得慧文只能说我只能弹和弦，而现在能弹点音了哈，能弹点曲调了。哎呀，那个我这写了一个诗篇第三诗篇三四篇第六节，我这困苦人的呼求，耶和华便垂听，救我脱离一切患难。神真的是在一直的祝福我。这一段时间呢，一直处在一个搬家的阶段，不断的收拾东西、打扫卫生的状态，心里就感慨万分。在这五年当中，你要给我拿点纸呗 ，sorry， 我好像有点流鼻涕了。好的，谢谢。这五年当中，我搬了三次家。好，谢谢。从一开始的我只能做一部分、一小部分的工作，到现在独当一面，我就觉得真是神祝福了我啊！在搬家过程中，我就一直要做一些我以前不曾做过的事，这样呢，我反而得到了益处，而且呢，时间受限制，我就不得不赶紧去做。邓勇就说：“感谢主给我这么强力的福建训练。”有个姊妹也在说，我们是在过着支搭帐篷的生活，感谢主让我越来越好，而且一直在进步。我现在说话好像也快了很多，以前呢就是脑袋反应过来，但是嘴表达不出来，但是现在呢已经是头和嘴已经是共同的了，就是头反应过来，嘴已经能表达出来了哈。就是神真的一直在祝福我，蛮有盼望可以恢复正常。我知道我受了很多恩典，主呢一直在改变我自己。我现在常看圣经，又背经节，这跟以前好像不一样的。我以前不是那种人。后来有一句话就在我心里了，是以弗所书四章一节，行事为人当与所蒙的恩相称。我知道我差得很远，并且靠人的努力是做不到的。当我有这个心愿呢，就靠主恩典，信靠主，而尽量行事为人与所蒙的恩相称。最后用一节我最喜欢的经文做结束，诗篇十六篇第八节，我常将耶和华摆在面前，因他在我右边，我便不致摇动。我很喜欢这句话，就是这句话后来我刚开始就是不好的时候，2016年到2018年呢，是那句话是什么来着，我忘了，想不起来了。困苦是我宽广，完了后来2018年以后我慢慢能走了呢，我就这句话在我心里了，常将耶和华摆在我面前，你待在我右边，我就不知摇动。希望我真的不受任何的环境影响，真的将耶和华摆在面前，就是在主里和弟兄姐妹一起成长。好了，我完了，谢谢。来扶我下去吧，你的眼镜呢？
I will give a quick summary of our sister Sherry. She mentioned,
"I'm going to go to the house."我今天看得非常感动，我深深地记得几年前杨一岁在美罗拉医院，我们教会的弟兄姐妹去看的，什么都不知道，现在能够这样的弹琴，杨一有信心，杨一神在保守你， 神的恩典，神的奇迹在你家彰显。另外利用的时间谢谢大家，九月一号是我的暂时婚，好多是兄弟姐妹把它发给姐妹群，我没有姐妹群，好多人打电话，高弟兄也打电话，我是没有想到的。后来我没有姐妹群，就全部发到原住那儿，又发到兄弟，把他们搞得都不得安。我说兄弟啊，你赶快给我，谢谢大家，我知道了，不能再发了。从早到晚一直不停打电话的也有，冯妈妈也打电话，我谢谢大家，在主里面我得到主的爱，弟兄姐妹的爱，谢谢。
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here. We are Evan and Audrey Yusey, and we are missionaries with OMF International. Thank you. Our kids are here this morning. Atticus, can you stand up? Atticus is 10 years old and he's in 5th grade. And then Elsa, our daughter, is 8 years old and she is, what grade are you in, Elsa? 3rd grade. And Moses, what grade are you?
Kindergarten,
good job. And then Loic, how old are you? And Loic is 2. And it's great to be here. We've been looking forward to joining you for a long time. We had hoped to come back to the United States 2 years ago, but because of some things that came up, weren't able to come. And then last year, because of COVID, weren't able to come back. So it's really nice to be able to worship with you and reconnect with Greater Kansas City Chinese Christian Church. It's a real joy. Should I pause for translation, or should I do English? Okay. Audrey and I are, as I mentioned, missionaries with OMF International. OMF was started in 1865 as the China Inland Mission, by a man called Hudson Taylor, and since then has gone to other countries in East Asia, and we have been serving in Japan in church planting for the last 4 years, and are back in the United States on something called home assignment, which is a chance to for our kids to reconnect with American culture, for us to reconnect with our families who we haven't seen for a very long time. Normally, it's easy for families to move back and forth, but because of COVID, it's been much more difficult. So we're very grateful for the chance to see our families here in the United States. And I think the main reason, though, is for us to come back and to report to churches and reconnect with churches about what we've been doing, how you can pray for us, and what God has been doing in Japan, and what we'd like to see God do in Japan. As some of you probably know, when I was about 16 years old, I developed a number of food allergies, things that I can't eat. Some of these are dangerous, like I could have to go to the hospital, and some of them are fairly mild, so just kind of frustrating or annoying. So I think for lots of people, and even me when I was younger, going to a buffet restaurant or to a church meal or something like this is a lot of fun. But for me, going to these kinds of meals can be very difficult or frustrating. It's difficult to see all these different things that I would like to eat, but not be able to eat very many of them. When we first arrived in Japan about 10 years ago, we spent 2 years studying at a Japanese language school full-time. Our whole job for the first 2 years in Japan was just to study Japanese. And during this time, we attended a church called Living Hope, and it was a small church in a very poor neighborhood in Japan. And many of the people who went there didn't have much money or even a job. So we graduated from language school and were ready to move to a different ministry, a different job in a different part of Japan. And the church wanted to plan a meal for us to eat together so that they could say goodbye. In Japanese, you call it a solbetsukai. And of course, I thought with my allergies, oh no, another meal where there will be lots of things to eat, but I won't be able to eat any of them. But when the meal was announced after church service, the pastor of the church said that everyone in the church had made something, and everything that they had made was free of all of my allergies. I have never, ever been in a room with so many different kinds of foods that I can have. And when I think about that gift from these Japanese brothers and sisters, even now I'm really very deeply touched. 1 Corinthians 9:8 says this. It says, "And God is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause." And as I think about how our Christian brothers and sisters in Japan gave us this gift, more than I needed, I would have been happy with 2 or 3 things to eat, but they gave me 10, 12, 14. That's our prayer for Japan as well. That we have sometimes very small prayers for Japan. A few people would come to Christ. But our desire is that God would give the Japanese church and Japanese non-believers more gifts than they need. And that He would give us, as His church in the United States, and in China, and Hong Kong, and Taiwan, and Singapore, and all of these places, what we need so that we can give these gifts to the Japanese church and the Japanese non-Christians as well. Because we know that God has abundant gifts, and He wants to give them to us. We believe that God has a role for the Japanese church to play as part of the church in the world, and God wants to do something beautiful in Japan. And I think He wants to do more, I think, than we expect. Audrey's going to come up now and talk a little bit about what our daily life and ministry look like, and what it looked like for us to talk to Japanese non-Christians a lot of times.
Good morning. The last 4 years in Japan, our ministry has focused on building relationships and doing evangelism. You might have heard that Japanese people are not interested in spiritual things or in religion, but Evan and I haven't found much trouble finding people who want to talk about spiritual things. And sometimes these conversations can be very serious and difficult. So one day I was talking to my friend, I'll call her Mrs. K, and we started talking about prayer. And she said, "Well, I can't pray to Jesus. I've never seen Jesus. But it's easy for me to pray to my grandmother because I knew her." And then she paused and she said, "Do you think it's possible to communicate with people who have already died?" And I said, "Well, I think there are things that are real beyond physical things that we see." And she continued, Mrs. K, she said, "Do you think that some people can talk to the dead?" So I said, "Well, lots of people talk about that kind of thing. Have you ever met someone like that?" She said, "In the little town where I was born, there was a woman who could talk to people who had already died." I said, "Really? What was she like?" She said, actually, it was my mom." So gradually, Mrs. K told me the whole story. Her grandmother had been the one who knew how to summon spirits, or summon the dead, and would help people in her village communicate with lost loved ones. So my friend, Mrs. K, her mother had learned these secrets of communicating with the dead, but struggled with the idea of making it her profession. Most Japanese people will tell you that they are not religious. Actually, Mrs. K and her mom and her grandmother would probably have told you the same thing if you just asked the direct translation, "Are you a religious person?" They would say, "No, I'm not a religious person." But in many cases, I think this is either a miscommunication or just a polite lie. Our Japanese friends pray to their ancestors for guidance. They carry magic charms for protection. They take ghosts and meditation, reincarnation and shrines and temples very seriously. The first Protestant missionaries arrived in Japan over 150 years ago, and Japan quickly became 3% Christian, but that number has been declining ever since. Official statistics say that Japan is about 1% Christian, but after living in Japan for 10 years, I'd say that number is pretty optimistic. One town we lived in had 65,000 people and 50 people going to church on a Sunday. So that's not 1%, that's 0.07%. Our older son was the only Christian at his elementary school, one out of 400. So that's 0.25%. But when our daughter started going to the same school, we doubled the percent. So now there's 0.5% Christian at their school. So many Japanese people like to talk about spiritual things. We've heard from our Japanese friends that because of the COVID crisis, people are searching for answers more seriously now than they have in a long time. But the odds that that search will lead them to Jesus are very heartbreakingly low. So not only have most Japanese people never heard the good news, but there's a good chance they don't even know a Christian. In Romans 10, Paul asks, "How can anyone believe if they have not heard the good news?" The reality is, for many of our Japanese friends who are seeking spiritually, we will be the last chance they have to hear the good news of Jesus.
A lot of our time in Japan was spent building relationships and doing evangelisms, and one of our favorite ways to meet people and get to know them was to have barbecues. Because of Japan's COVID-19 restrictions, these days that usually means having a barbecue outside. So about 2 years ago, we invited our friends, and we'll call them the Sasakis, to a barbecue at our house. We really felt that the Lord had led us to this couple in a special way. The husband was not willing to call himself a Christian, but we could tell that the Lord had been at work in his life. He knew that God was real. He knew that Jesus loved him. He knew that the Bible was beautiful and that it was true. Audrey had shared Bible stories with his wife, Mrs. Sasaki, on several occasions. And even though the questions she asked were tough, she had gotten real attention and honest answers. So after a really wonderful barbecue, the weather was beautiful, the lamb was delicious, our kids were obedient and funny, the sun began to set, and Mr. Sasaki asked me, "Evan, I hear that you're working on starting a church in your house. Can you tell me about it?" And so I thought, hey, this is a great opportunity. And so I really eagerly explained our vision for our church and what we wanted to see in Japan. We wanted to see a church where everyone could serve, where everyone could use the spiritual gifts that we knew that God had given them. We wanted a community where people could gather, where they could study God's word, and where they could encourage each other to faith and to obedience for the next week. So Mr. Sasaki heard these things and he thought about them. And then he said, "Well, I'm afraid I'm really not that interested. I'd feel much more comfortable if someone could just read me a sermon and then I could go home." And so I was pretty disappointed. In kind of my lack of faith, I thought, well, maybe this is just as far as this relationship goes in terms of spiritual things. But praise God, he was not finished with me in my lack of faith, and he wasn't finished with Mr. Sasaki either. We stayed in touch, and over the coming months, I kept encouraging him to pray, kept encouraging him to talk about Jesus with his family and with his co-workers. And about a year later, so this would have been a little over a year past, so he called me on the phone and said, "Evan, I'd like to study the Bible with you." And I was really excited. And then he said, "How about 9:30 on Sunday nights?" And I was a little less excited, but of course I still said yes. So we've spent the past year, actually about a year and 3 months now, studying the Bible together on Zoom, late on Sunday nights, usually in our pajamas. It's been a wonderful time. He's grown in his faith. He's grown in his understanding of the Bible. He's really started to understand what it means to follow Jesus on a daily basis. The most exciting thing probably happened about a month before we came back to the United States this June. We were getting ready for our Bible study, and Mr. Sasaki said to me, "Evan, I was reading my Bible and praying this week, and I had an idea. I like studying the Bible fine, but sometimes I feel that it's not enough just to study the Bible. I have an idea that what if Christians could get together, if we could have a chance to encourage each other, you know, and talk honestly about the things that are going well and the ways that we are hurt and disappointed. And so we don't just, you know, meet together to talk about the Bible once a week, but really encourage each other so that we have enough strength to follow Jesus for the entire week." And I just about jumped out of my chair with joy. What a wonderful description of a house church, or any church for that matter. Our vision for the next 4 years is to see Mr. Sasaki's vision for church come true. We want to see a place where people can meet once a week and encourage each other to faith and obedience, where they can learn to study the Bible and encourage each other by what they've learned in the Bible that day and that week. We want to see our Japanese friends grow into a community where they can use the gifts that God has given them to encourage each other and to grow deeper in love for one another. We are currently raising prayer support and some financial support to go back to Japan, hopefully this December. When we return, we'll continue to lead this small house church in our home. We're very thankful for Mr. Sasaki and hope that he will be baptized soon. My prayer, don't tell him, but my prayer is that he will be baptized within a couple months of when we get back to Japan. We are also praying that not only Mr. Sasaki, but there are two other families in particular that we're praying for who come to our house periodically, and that they will begin to attend our house church as well on Sundays. We really want to thank you for your prayer and for your support. I think for us it's been a difficult 2 years, and a lot of ministries and a lot of churches have struggled in the past a little bit, but we are very grateful for your continued encouragement and your welcome and your prayer and your support for us over these 2 years. And we're excited to see what abundant gifts God has in store for you and for us as we minister in Japan in the coming years. It's a real blessing to be working with you together for the gospel here in Kansas City and then in Japan as well. Thank you very much.
Recording stopped.
I also thank
recording
them
in progress.
Yang Yi has been playing guitar very well. So some of you, since you may not know that, didn't hear the English part, so let me translate it what she said. So she have a aneurysm in May 2015, and she was in a very dangerous situation. Many brothers and sisters pray for her, and she was rescued very timely. And so that's what Sister Wan mentioned about. She was in a hospital, it's called Manola Hospital, in ICU for 21 days. And basically she was in coma, but it was lost grace, and she was recovered. And then in in the end of the 2015, yeah, so her mother and my mother-in-law also passed away, and then we went, well, because some job change, and then so at that time I took her and my daughter to Washington, D.C. in January 2016. Yeah, so and then we came back in 2018, August, and then 1 year, and then because of another job change, we went back, yeah, for 2 year assignment, and then we just came back. So I want to share one more thing about why young year could be covered very so well. Sure, that is a medical help, and we have a lot of medical, physical help, and all this, and brother and sister's prayer. But I want to share one thing. I think it was also critical for us during the past 5 years in Washington, D.C., why Yang Yi had so much change, and actually that was surely related to a fellowship there. So we went to a new place, and then we always ask where we go to have fellowship or have worship with brothers and sisters, and then how do we find the right place. Yeah. So I remember, so when we went there, we thank the Lord that is a provision for us. So we know Brother Shi, yeah, so we know him in WCCC, West Coast Christian Conference, for many years. So that is a fellowship there. So I went there in the October of 2015, and then we gathered there. I joined their fellowship. And when Yang Yi came in January 2016, she still was very sick. So many of you remember. So at that time she was, well, so it was hard for her to go, and she had a lot of coughing because she had the trick. So yes, a trick for the breathing, and then that is she have a lot of coughing and a lot of discomfort. We arrived DC at the first Friday night, and then I say, okay, shall we go to a fellowship? She was very sick. She didn't that much willing to go, but anyhow, she was willing. So and then I took her and Faith, my daughter, there. What was interesting was she had a lot of coughing and comfort, but when she was in the fellowship, all those coughing and comfort disappear. Yeah. And also on Sunday, that was even longer. So Sunday, every week, there is bread breaking right here. Every week, and then many brother and sister praise the Lord, and all the wonderful fellowship. So we know the Lord is always with every believer. But we praise the Lord. That is a manifestation of the presence of the Lord, the evidence of the Lord. That's really strengthened, help us went through all this difficult year. I remember when I was there that night, the Lord somehow revealed to me why the presence of the Lord is so strong there. And it reminded me there is an altar. That is the altar, like Abraham's altar. Brothers, one mention, we were here many years, and we had fellowship in our house once a month, and then many houses, several houses, we turned around. So I remember at that time, we complained, well, we have good times, but there are hard times, and when we come, we'll say, oh, it is too much, or once a month, or this. But later I knew, in that house, 20 years, more than 20 years, every Friday, together in that house. So I see, what is real? Why the Lord's presence so strong? Because that is the altar, like the Abraham's altar. We learned about Genesis, right? I think a few weeks ago, one pastor talked about Jacob, right? Mentioned Jacob, and then that is the altar, Abraham's altar. And also, you see there is a build-up in the testimony in Jacob. Right? And that is the deep well of Isaac. That is God's word. So all this, that is the church that can be built. So, yeah. We thank the Lord. Yeah, for these years, yeah, they know what we need. And I also remember, yeah, the Lord help us in all this way, in recognize what is the spiritual reality. Yeah, so may the Lord recover all these things, that this can be truly a house of God. And I also thank Mark and Andrea. He mentioned about how they work in Japan. That reminded me that one of the first ministry to China, if you may heard about, is Robert Marison. He is the translator. He first translated the English Bible to the Chinese Bible, and he spent 25 years in China. He did the same thing as you did. That is, they first built up those relationships, and at that time it's much more harder. And he also be a, like a Chinese, if you know at that time Chinese have a long it's a, like a lady, so it's a long I don't know, the cannot recognize the English word. But what I remember it is in his 25 years in China, he only got, if I remember right, is 5 people saved. But that becomes the seed, and later, and so many things that happen. So I'm sure the Lord put it in your heart, what those, yeah, and may the Lord, yeah, working not only in you and also through you, that the gospel and the God's purpose, yeah, can be fulfilled.
今天是见证聚会的时间，我没有准备，不过圣灵感动我，我觉得我要向卓勇道歉，因为刚刚他其实是看到万老师已经上去，可是他觉得说他应该先翻译， 然后万老师讲完，他可以再帮万老师翻译。可是我非常急，因为我觉得虽然主总说教会有个次序，可是在我的想法里，我觉得次序就是长幼有序，所以我觉得万老师上去应该是让万老师先讲，所以我就很急的就打断了左勇。那我觉得我这样做不太对，因为翻译其实是一个很难的工作。我有看他每一次在翻译的时候，他是战战兢兢的，所以我觉得这也教了我一个功课，就是在许多事情上，的确这里是有一个次序的，在教会的各个事工上也是。那有时候我们想要互相的帮助的时候，有时候更是需要有圣灵的带领。我不希望说有任何的事情把我们的教会反而好像打乱了。那我觉得在家里更是让我学习到，我应该是要好好的做到一个角色，就是帮助左勇。其实我知道这个每一个主日就是每个月的第一个主日的翻译是的确是蛮难的，是因为是两堂连在一起。左勇曾经跟我讲过，就是翻译有时候翻了超过四十几分钟以后，头脑就有点不清楚。虽然中间有一点休息，可是还是蛮难的一项工作。而且有时候他有人在翻译在做见证的时候，我看到他一直在打字，然后等到他要讲的时候，那下一个人已经上去了，就开始讲了，所以他等于是整个他就是就他就 give up， 他也就不再翻译了。那我现在跟左勇不在同一个房间，所以我只是想告诉他说，我很抱歉，我也希望我能够在很多事情上学习，就是应该是 let go， and let go， 谢谢。
Thank you for your sharing. 没有问题，我们都是弟兄姐妹，彼此配搭，没关系，谁的圣灵带领。
我想快快分享一下吧。我觉得刚才很感动慧文姊妹能有这个勇气给弟兄道歉，就是让我也想起，我觉得在教会这么多年一直都有弟兄的服侍。其实想来，我觉得像我们教会一直承担翻译的姐妹弟兄，我们这么多年都看着你们在这儿就是同工。我还特别记得有一次在 Kansas 有一个很大的讲员，我都记不得了，很大的那个就是 English speaker， 然后是武雷弟兄和作勇弟兄担任翻译，好像几个 church 在一起的，我特别印象深。当时我都对他们的翻译非常非常 impressed。 然后我呢就是怎么讲，很少参加教会的服事，说的那个真的是，我觉得每次听信息的时候，我们翻译的弟兄姐妹怎么说，有的时候都不正眼看你们一眼，好像都觉得我的中文已经听到了。真的是很多时候我觉得都没有意识到其实翻译是多么辛苦的一个工作，你要全身就是全心贯注的要得那个信息，然后就是要心打哑的尽量把它翻译出来，而且要求很多圣经的知识。我呢是最近因为有一次高弟兄给我写 message 说教会同工比较短缺，可不可以 back up 一次。我当时心里说 what， 我说虽然以前我也做翻译的工作，但是我是做的那个 health 就是医学翻译的，我对圣经我基本上不读英文的，也就是说我对圣经的词汇根本都不知道。但是我心里就两个声音，一个是说 yes to answer yes， 一个是说 no， 但是我知道我不能跟高弟兄说 no， 所以我跟他说了 yes。 但是其实接下来那几天，弟兄也是提前好几天跟我说的，其实接下来那几天我非常紧张，觉都没有睡好觉，我就在网上去 search 那些圣经的词汇啊什么的，就是看，就是想到自己基本上有一点点 idea。结果我觉得上次同工其实自己也是做得很不好，但是不管怎么样，我觉得神也帮了我，然后给我这个就是愿意去服侍的心。所以今天我觉得慧文姊妹说起这个，让我真的是想起来我们的翻译弟兄姐妹这么多年真的是付上了很多。所以呢我真的是很也就是自己参加了这个事情施工以后才知道这个工作其实不好做，求神带领。然后我还特别想分享的是， 什么呀，上周末万老师和徐叔叔他们的60周年，我也是早上起来就一下心血来潮，我觉得干嘛要把这个就是安安静静的在家里 celebrate， 虽然我们很近的朋友都知道，所以我一下心血来潮告诉大家，我也挨了万老师的批评，但是我其实知错不改，我还是很高兴我做了，虽然万老师那天也忙得不得了，接弟兄姐妹的电话，我真的是觉得在我们教会虽然是小，但是有我们的前辈们在前面，真的是我就跟万老师说，他们的生活方式非常简单，但是他们向神的心很感动我们。所以呢，我觉得那天弟兄姐妹有这样的就是你网上的一种参与，我也想谢谢大家。虽然我知道我做错了，但是我不想改。还有一个我真的也想分享的是，我觉得每次看见杨毅、曾勇他们回来，给我很大很大的感动。怎么讲呢？我觉得杨毅姊妹，我们都看见她变了。我觉得她以前是一个搞艺术的，我觉得音乐就是她的生命。他以前弹琴事情我们也是好像都不用正眼看他一眼，那因为那是他可以做的，他是做的最好的。但是现在我觉得他让我们看到的是，他现在是用他的信心生命在弹琴。我居然我还记得杨毅躺在 ICU， 虽然他自己都不知道，他肯定没有 no idea， 我们都还记得那个图画，可是现在他居然还回来还在施琴，而且想起来很奇妙啊。我觉得神的供应是一个 perfect timing。 你看我们最近也是在 involve 就是教会的 youth 来参加施琴了，好像有一点点因为疫情的关系，大家很多都不可以回教会，那教会的服事也是一个 challenge， 就是好像就是有点需要更多的新的人起来。虽然我很少参加服事，但是在音乐上其实我一直鼓励孩子要服事。我觉得好像 Alina 在高中的时候我就还是有这种负担，我就想鼓励 Lily 小的一个来参加，那会儿根本都说不动她，她说 she's busy she's not good at piano， 她根本就随便怎么说，后来我都放弃了。然后我觉得这个 summer 回来以后，好像有 youth 的老师也是在鼓励我们的 youth 来参加服事，我后来知道她说了 yes 给老师，所以我都还挺高兴的。但是我也是想帮助他能够过渡一下，可不可以？所以我就鼓励他，我说趁着姐姐还在的时候，你可不可以跟姐姐一起 serve？ 比如说他弹5个曲子，假如说你可不可以弹一个什么的？有时候说的好好的，一走到 church 他找不见那个 feel， 他又 give up 了。所以到后来我都 give up 了，我觉得我 try 了，但是就交给神了。你既然跟幼师老师说你愿意 serve， 那最后怎么 serve 你就自己去 handle。然后结果姐姐也走了，她也没有练习过，我很 worry。但是你看准备领会的弟兄还是把5个曲子送来，就是 treat 他们 as regular a co-worker。 然后姐姐和我一看就说 no no way， 你根本做不了5个，你赶快去跟叔叔说，领会的叔叔说你可能给你2个吧。所以我都差点还去给领会的弟兄说可不可以 change 一下，然后丽丽就说让他 try 一下，然后看看能不能怎样把哪些曲子 cancel 或者怎么样调。但是没想到 amazingly 他上了片了以后就是 go through sight reading， 我想他也就半个小时 quickly 告诉我哪2-3个曲子可以叫领会的叔叔改一下。没想到他在上面待了1个多小时，不是因为他想去练，我是看见神 touch 他的心，因为那个 hymns 就已经在 touch 他的心，所以他被感动了，所以他在 piano 上一直待着不下来。虽然他还有 homework 还有别的事情要做，我在房间里听着，我知道是神 touch 他，我非常感动。所以呢5个曲子对 Alina 和我看来都不觉得是可以 handle 的事情，我觉得神带领他把这个事情做了，而且我看见他在开始 enjoy 这个事情。所以我就最近的感觉，我就是觉得那个什么就是 COVID 以后，我觉得我们教会虽然小，但是感谢神这么多年同工的这种付出，我真的是有机会能够就是看到大家这种付出和摆上。我自己也在开始学习，想真的是把自己摆上学习这个功课的。所以 anyhow， 还有一个我想告诉杨毅姐妹，你们经历了这么多真的是没有白费。我还记得2年前我带 Lina 去那个纽约大学看的时候， Face 正好已经开学，他专门腾出一个 weekend 来陪我们进到那些 building， 通常我们都进不去嘛，因为纽约的 security 很严，他带着我们刷他的卡，带我们到处去看，给我们解释，然后给我们介绍他周末去一个很小很小的 church， 里边都是些好像
年长的什么的，那个给我们感触很多，那个也真的是影响到 Alina 去了教去了大学以后，她一定要去找 fellowship， 而不是说她那儿真正有多好朋友，或者是跟她同龄的有多少。我觉得 Face 在对她的影响，去怎样去 imagine 一个大学的 life 很有得到。所以真的我很感谢主，这次好像在我们教会很多时候有点接不上趟的时候，你们回来然后看见杨毅的音乐，对我来说真的是很有感触。Sorry, Tony,
so, Brother Tony, can I borrow a couple minutes? I'll be very quick.
Okay.
So, I'll speak English first. So, Brother, thank you, Wei-Wen, thank you, Kathy, and thank you, Brother Zeng Yong. You all, in a way that encouraged me today. So, I know that Wei-Wen is always the first to say I'm sorry. In our house, and that is a good example I need to follow. And then also, Kathy, you did wonderful that Sunday with so much courage. I mean, you put all you have, and I'm sure the Lord will be pleased with that. And we're so glad to have you serving with us in this small group of translators. And Brother Zeng Yong, I thank you. Maybe you did not realize, but you gave the example of Robert Morrison, and it was an encouragement to me. So as he sat there quietly translate the Bible to Chinese, and that was like a long endurance. So that's a perfect example for me to follow too. Thank you. So 弟兄姐妹，我也很感谢主耶稣今天用很多的弟兄姐妹来鼓励我，慧文他在家里都是常常都是我们有什么有点什么争执了，他常常都第一个先讲对不起，所以他从来都是一个在这个方面他都是一个非常好的榜样，我有很多跟他地方跟他学习。我也很感动琼丽姐妹那个主日的侍奉，让我们因为在一个小的 group， 看我们这个小小的这个有是翻译的侍奉，多一个人就是多了一个，有时候是多了30%或25%，非常多的一个非常大的一个帮助，而且他非常镇静的整天在那边在讲台上侍奉，我真的要也要向他学习。还有就是今天曾勇弟兄也给我一个很好的鼓励，他用马里逊的例子，也许他不是有意的，但是他的确是他用的那个例子给我鼓励，使我知道说马里逊他非常有耐心的在用25年的时间把圣经翻译成中文在那边做这个侍奉。所以我相信这个翻译的侍奉有它的价值。在每个聚会里，当然我也明白主会有他的每一次都有特别的带领，所以我不会有什么hurt feeling， 所以你们大家也不要担心，我会继续侍奉陶主的喜悦。谢谢。